Title of today's word is Abundant Life. And there's so much going through my head, it's difficult. Anyhow, if we could turn to Matthew 13. I know we've been here lately. And in verse 33, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Well, this translation is in error of the original word. You know, I think the King James has it a little better. It calls it leaven. Leaven in our language is ferment. Yeast wasn't even figured out what it was until about 1850 by Louis Pasteur. So the ferment was this magical quality that did stuff, and people didn't know what it was. Now, when this woman put the ferment into that flour, it just took over. It worked all the way through it. The kingdom is just like that. The kingdom has been put into our lives, and it's working through every nook and cranny of our personality, our soul, you know, everything. And our body. Let's not discount that. And there's another one in here, and that's in 23. And Jesus is explaining about this parable of the sower. He said, "The one that received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Well, look at that. Look at the mathematics of that. See, with God, in God's economy, it's not 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's 2 to the power of 10 or something. It's beautiful. This is the kingdom working through our lives. In our experience, you put a certain amount of energy into something and you get a certain result. In the kingdom thinking, the result is just unbelievable. It's something we can't comprehend. If we can gauge the result, then we're probably not allowing the creativity of the Spirit in our lives. That's a rough one for me to hear. See, we're generally dependent on our provisions. You know, if we throw down 5 seed, we want 5 plants. But in the kingdom thinking, 5 seed may yield 100 plants.
That's right.
It's a matter of allowing the kingdom to ferment, allowing that ferment to work through our lives. When you pick grapes, you start a ferment with yeast. You have a choice. If you allow the ferment with the yeast to take place, it produces wine. If you inhibit the yeast, it produces vinegar. What would you rather have? I'm not talking about salad dressing here. Talking about a beverage. All right. So let's look at something else. You know, I like all these things that Jesus did. So let's move over to Mark 6. That's right after Matthew. Okay, we're going to start at verse 7. Jesus sending out the 12. He's calling the 12 to him. He sent them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money. You got that? Okay. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Okay, let's skip ahead to verse 13. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now, the disciples went out without provisions and stuff happened. Jesus was teaching them to rely on his authority, not on what they could scrape together for a trip. When you're planning a trip, you save money, correct? Well, in the kingdom realm, it's a little different. Just a little different. So then in this same chapter, let's go down to verse 30. Okay, and this is about Jesus feeding the 5,000. So many people were coming and going that they didn't have a chance to eat. And he said, let's go get a quiet place so we can rest. Well, that didn't happen. They went to a solitary place in verse 32, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Jesus landed and saw a huge crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he was very much the shepherd. So he began teaching them. It was late in the day, and his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, and it's already late. Send the people away so they can go get some food. And he answered, you give them something to eat. Well, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Okay, again, we're looking at our own provision here, right? Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? Five and two fish. Jesus wasn't that concerned with how much they had. It was what they had. Remember when he talked about faith? He said, it's not how much, it's what. Faith the size of a mustard seed. So Jesus broke, you know the story. Jesus broke the bread, passed it around. And after everybody ate, in verse 43, they picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And then right after this, the disciples were out in the boat, straining against the wind, and Jesus came to them walking on water and calmed the storm. So what the thing I can't figure out is, Jesus sent him out two by two. They had his authority. And then when the 5,000 were there, they didn't realize that they had his authority. And they're out on the water, they didn't realize they had his authority. So he had like two lessons right after this. Like, dudes, don't you get it? You just did this stuff and you're not applying it. But I know we would never be like that. See, the kingdom is God's authority and his excessive provision for us. We're so caught up looking at what we have. It doesn't matter what we have. You know, when I ferment some grapes, I can have 100 gallons of grapes, and I can put in an ounce of yeast in one corner, and 2 days later, the whole thing's fermenting. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Okay, let's look at John 2. We all know this story. It's the wedding, right? We'll start in verse 3. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus said, "So what?" No, he said, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." So then Mary said to the servants, and this is should be the most important verse for the Catholics, because they really revere Mary, correct? "Whatever he says, do it." That's what Mary told the servants. Whatever Jesus says, do it. Love that. So you know what happened. Question is, why did Jesus make so much wine? The religious mind, the Pharisaical mind, well, they probably had enough already. They didn't need any more, right? That's the self-righteous attitude. But it just came out of the abundance of God. He was showing people something there. Why the 12 extra baskets of bread and fish from feeding the 5,000? You know, don't you think that Jesus could have just whipped up the exact number? Probably could have, huh? But there's always something more. There's always extra if we're open. I know most of us would be happy if every desire was just met, right? Cross the T's and dot the I's. Yeah. But in God's love, he wants to overwhelm us. That's the realm of the kingdom. It's overflowing. It's the water coming out of the temple in Ezekiel 47. The weird thing about it is, in the natural realm, the water is deepest at the source and it gets thinner as it goes out. At the temple in Ezekiel 47, it's deeper the further you get away from the temple. It's abundant. And everywhere the water goes, it heals. It gives life. We're that temple. We have the water flowing out of us. Everywhere we go, there's healing. There's life. We need to allow the life free course. And so we inhibit his life so much by the way we think. That's why Paul said, renew your minds. And again in Colossians 3, he says, set your hearts on things above. And he said, set your minds on things above. Jesus warned to be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Okay, the leaven of the Pharisees is self-righteousness, and the leaven of Herod is self-reliance. Those are two enemies of kingdom thinking.
Terry, could you say that again? You just said about the Pharisees and Herod.
Yeah, the leaven of the Pharisees is self-righteousness, And the leaven of Herod is self-reliance. See, if there's effort on our part, if we're working hard at this, we're under the law. This is God's thing. God threw the yeast in us, and it's going. Let it go. Let the ferment take over. So we don't want the yeast of Herod or the yeast of the Pharisees, do we? In winemaking, there's certain wild yeast that we don't want also, and certain bacteria. So we add a little chemical to it that doesn't harm the yeast we put in, but it inhibits the other stuff. It's sulfur dioxide. Well, we have a preservative like that too. It's called a living word. A daily living word to your heart will inhibit the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. Now, back in Exodus, they got manna every day, right? Remember that? It's in Exodus 16 if you want to read about it. They collected it every day, enough for each person, and the person that gathered too much had the right amount, and the person that didn't gather enough had the right amount. That does sound like a kingdom influence, doesn't it? And on the day before the Sabbath, they were to collect twice as much, and it was there, and it preserved, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to go out on the Sabbath, the day of rest. Well, there were some greedy people that on a regular day collected a lot and kept some over to the next day. But it was spoiled. It had maggots in it the next day. God gives to us what we need each day. I marvel at how I can just have such a revelation some evening, and the next morning I can still remember that revelation, but it doesn't quite have the power, the transforming power that it did the moment I saw it. It's a memory. It's something that changed me, and I retain it, but it doesn't have that fresh quality. And that's why we need a fresh, living word from the Father to our hearts every single day. I can't underscore the importance of that enough. See, we all have 20/20 hindsight. And you can look back at yesterday and you figure it out and you say, yeah, I know what happened, and I would have done this a little different. So you got a little wisdom from that. But the now is uncertain, right? We don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen in 1 minute? Well, Terry's still going to be talking. Okay, you got me there. But it's being aware of the voice of God this moment. I'm not aware of his voice every moment. I want to be, though. You know, we want miracles to happen, right? We want to see miracles. Right. Yeah, I got one too. But you know what? We're afraid of that. When we come head on to a situation where there's a need, do we know what the Father's saying, or do we just run from it? Or do we take a religious approach and say, I'll pray for you tonight? or I'll be praying for you. Yeah, that sounds better. I'll be praying for you. Now, I'm not saying that's incorrect or it's a bad thing. That's a good thing. But what I'm saying is we need to hear the voice of God clearly so that when we are confronted with a need, we know what the Father's saying. Without needs, there's no need for miracles. Right? The miracles didn't happen in a vacuum. They were just Jesus going along and being confronted by a situation, and he heard what the Father was saying about it, and he spoke to it. Or he rubbed mud on it. Or he spit on it. Right? Whatever he did, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is, he was hearing. He was aware of the kingdom realm. Now, we're in this dead realm trying to be aware of the kingdom realm. But I don't think it's going to happen if we exert ourselves. It's in us. It's happening. The ferment is working. Let's open up to the awareness of it. You know, clean the ears out, pull the scales off the eyes. It's not what we consume or what we do. It's just what flows through us. That's what's changing us. Doesn't matter how many Bible studies we go to or how many chapters we read a day in the Bible. It's being aware of him, who he is toward us. His life is coursing through us. In Ezekiel 47, it says the trees bear fruit 12 months out of the year. See, in our realm, a tree bears fruit, then it loses its leaves, and it goes dormant to rest. In the kingdom realm, there's rest all the time. So it can bear fruit all the time. Amen. That was a windy one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, open my eyes, open our eyes, open our ears, so we're aware of your life, your voice, your movement within us and around us. Make us aware of your life in others. And as we encounter other people, we call them out of the tomb and unwrap them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.